The UN Security Council is sufficiently worried about the situation in Ivory Coast to order 2,000 more peacekeepers to the country. The vote was unanimous, a sign that the Council is united on this issue. That's not true for every crisis. Complex diplomacy is the norm at the Security Council, and it's embedded in its very walls. The World's Alex Gallafent reports from New York on the history of the main chamber, its temporary replacement, and a place called the Consultation Room.
In 1946, the United Nations had been in existence for only a year.
With an agenda weighted heavily with momentous world problems, the United Nations Security Council meets in its new temporary headquarters at Lake Success, Long Island, New York.
By 1960, the Security Council had been at its permanent home in Manhattan for 8 years. And it was already established as the place where superpowers met to exchange words.
Mr. President, the Soviet Union has committed a predatory act in international waters.
This was Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge speaking from the United States' permanent seat at the Security Council table, that iconic horseshoe table you'd recognize from the news and the movies. At each seat around the table, a plaque bears the name of a country, and behind each seat, other chairs are arranged in neat rows for advisors.
It's all a formula.
Michael Adlerstein is an architectural historian who's leading a major program to renovate the UN headquarters, including the Security Council chamber.
And it has developed over time as being a workable formula where everyone sits. Everyone in the room sort of knows if they turn to their right, they're going to see a certain performance.
And not just everyone in the room. Everyone outside, too, including people watching on TV. The visual language of the Security Council is ingrained in our collective memory. The table, the rows of chairs, and the massive mural on oil canvas, towering over proceedings.
It's been here since the very beginning, donated by Norway. It's a wonderful example, which can be interpreted many ways, but it's sort of rising from the ashes of war to peace. And it's a wonderful metaphor for what goes on, what's supposed to go on in this room.
Actually, not always this room, precisely. Last year, the Security Council moved to a conference room in the UN complex so that the original chamber could be refurbished. That's likely to take until the end of next year. But in the temporary chamber, every effort has been taken to preserve the look and feel of the space. The famous table was moved in, the chairs arranged exactly the same way, and Adlerstein's team even created a copy of the mural.
This is not the original. This is a photograph. We did a wonderful photograph of it at slightly smaller than full scale in order to bring back the ambiance of this room.
The sheer continuity of the chamber is, in a way, comforting. You see the room and you're reminded that, effective or not, there's always been one place where the world's major players could at least sit down and talk. David Bosco is the author of Five to Rule Them All, a title that refers to the five permanent members of the council. He says the room has changed over the years.
In earlier iterations, the Security Council actually had a more outward-facing table, so that the diplomats were kind of speaking to the public and to the cameras and the lights rather than facing each other. And the idea of the horseshoe-shaped table was that they would be speaking to each other.
There's always been a tension in the way the Security Council works, between a working forum for diplomacy and an outward-looking chamber, transparently accountable to the world.
The architects debated quite a bit in terms of how much access the public should have. There was a strong strain of support for the idea of transparency, that you know, this was going to be a global organization that needed to be open to the international public. But there was also an awareness that you didn't want to create the feeling that the diplomats were performing for the public.
Yet, down the decades, the Security Council has become something of a public political theater. Ambassadors generally deliver prepared remarks and speeches, and more, they offer presentations with supporting maps, charts, and, in this case, audio recordings.
Let me pause and review some of the key elements of this conversation that you just heard between these two officers.
That was then-Secretary of State Colin Powell in his 2003 presentation to the Security Council before the war in Iraq. But despite the increased use of technology, the chamber as public theater is nothing new. During the Cold War, the U.S. and the Soviet Union would launch pointed speeches in each other's direction.
Немедленного вмешательства Организации Объединенных Наций.
I want to say to you, Mr. Zorin, that I don't have your talent for obfuscation, for distortion, for confusing language, and for double talk. And I must confess to you that I'm glad I don't.
There was little talking to each other, horseshoe table or no. And so, in the 1970s, there was a push for a little privacy. Again, Michael Adlerstein at the UN.
The public sees the Security Council chamber, and then there's a sequence of smaller rooms surrounding the Security Council chamber for smaller consultations and for caucusing, which all serve sort of part of the discussion process. And so it's not just a room.
Adlerstein told me that there are ways for you to disappear into rooms for discussions without anyone knowing who you're in there with, and also rooms that are much more visible in case you want people to know. And there's one space in particular that's become more important than all the others.
The room we're entering now is the consultation room, which is the smaller version of the Security Council without the cameras. So there's no press, and it's the same arrangement of the same countries with the same advisors, two for each country, with a very smaller group.
Some of the details are different from the main chamber, but the consultation room really does look like Honey, I Shrunk the Security Council, right down to the bite-sized horseshoe table.
The consultation room has become the place where the Security Council really does its work.
In other words, it's where the posturing has a chance to end and the real discussions have a chance to begin. Author David Bosco was told a revealing story by a former U.S. ambassador to the U.N.
He remembers going into the consultation room for one of the first sessions in that room, and it wasn't the Soviet ambassador, but it was one of the Soviet bloc ambassadors, I think it might have been the Bulgarian ambassador, kind of launched into a anti-Western tirade, the kind of thing that you would hear all the time in the formal chamber. And the Soviet ambassador leaned over to him and said quite loudly, you know, we don't talk that way in here.
But the consultation room isn't universally popular. No transcripts are taken of the discussions held there, so no one knows what was said during, for instance, the genocide in Rwanda in 1994. And countries that are not members of the Security Council often complain at being kept in the dark. After all, the United Nations is in part built on the very idea that transparency is the best antidote to conflict. And yet, in this small room, the discussions of the Security Council are kept secret.
And if you suddenly said, okay, in the consultation room, we're going to keep transcripts and we're going to, you know, allow photographers in, and then it would just move someplace else.
WikiLeaks has rekindled age-old debates about the degree to which governments ought to be allowed to operate without public scrutiny. But, for better or worse, secrecy in the service of diplomacy is built into the very architecture of the United Nations. It's considered so important to the way things work that all of the spaces associated with the Security Council, the public ones and the private ones, have been recreated underground during the renovation period. For The World, I'm Alex Galifant in New York.
You can see pictures of some of the Security Council's temporary rooms. They're at theworld.org.